for a year-end tax-deductible gift of $250 or more to Issues Etc., we'll send you our new book, Objections Overruled 2, Answering Arguments Against Christianity, and a recording of 14 Easter season hymns featuring the Lutheran Public Radio Choir. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support. I think all of us have a sense of this, although we contacted at different levels in our lives, a collapse of institutions or maybe the trust that we once held in institutions. We were told that previous generations were joiners. They believed in institutions, especially grassroots institutions, that formed kind of an ecosystem in their life. Many of those were centered around the church. Well, when those systems, that those ecosystems begin to collapse or weaken, what should Christians do? There have been those who say, look, we have options, like the Benedict option. Are there ready-made, kind of put in place by previous generations, institutions and ecosystems for Christians who need a place to go? Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going to talk about confessional Lutheranism and the collapse of institutions. Rebecca Curtis joins us. She's a pastor's wife and mother of 8 children. She has a master's degree from Concordia Seminary. She's co-author of the book Ladylike, Living Biblically, and author of a recent column for American Reformer titled The Lutheran Option. Rebecca, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hello, thank you.
When people talk about the collapse of our institutions recently, what exactly are they describing?
I'll answer this in a way that is close to home, since that's what my article focuses on. It's no secret that the LCMS has closed a number of its institutional establishments in the recent years and decades. Of course, recently we've had 3 Concordia colleges close, but reaching farther back than that, there's also the closure of St. John's Winfield, closure of the junior colleges, and again, more recently, closure of Lutheran schools, K-8 schools, or the consolidation of Lutheran K-8 schools. And we can see kind of a historical pattern there where a lot of the things that were part of our institutional framework, we're finding we have not been able to maintain. And that's something that we need to pay attention to and think about and ask open questions about, not in a specifically reactionary way that says, oh no, this is terrible, this is a catastrophe, what are we going to do? But in a way that says, well, why did this happen? And what is the best thing we can do, observing these facts of history, seeing what reality has become? How can we best care for what we have in a way that best serves the people of God?
Well, staying within the context of our denomination, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, talk about its history, its early history of creating institutions, you say even in time, an ecosystem, and what we can learn from it.
You know, if you have any familiarity with kind of the boom years of the LCMS, they were in the 1950s and 60s, corresponding to the baby boom, of course, and Lutheran schools were all over the place. They were full of kids. The Lutheran Hour radio show was a very big influence, and there were also institutions being built to help Lutherans with other aspects of their lives, with financial planning and dealing with everything people have to figure out to live. So you have the establishment of the LCMS Foundation. This is a later one, the Lutheran Church Extension Fund, but also some other earlier ones are AAL and Lutheran Brotherhood. Those weren't exclusively LCMS, but LCMS members found them extremely beneficial. And I think probably most Lutherans still have some influence of that in their lives. Of course, those two organizations also combined to become Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. But all of those things remain the go-to places for Lutherans dealing with the housekeeping we all have to do, dealing with our money, dealing with education, and of course, the churches themselves, providing a community to people who say that the Lutheran confessions are the expression of faith that seems right to them.
So you say it formed an ecosystem. What do you mean by that?
All of those things are so connected. If you want to build a church, you have those financial institutions there to help you. If you want to figure out your personal finances, they're there to help you. If you're trying to figure out, how do I afford to send my kid to Lutheran school? You are, again, going to be drawing upon the expertise and resources that are available through that. And that was, that's all there. That's all in place for people of my generation. I'm a Gen Xer. And they just, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, they've just always been there. But of course, that isn't true. Our forebears built those because they wanted to have that available for their children and for members of their churches, and to make the Lutheran church not just a Sunday morning place, but a place that really helps people get through their lives through the provided that supported the needs of the body. And that differs from traditions that you now see that kind of operate on a startup model, that are planting a new church absolutely out of nowhere, just with no support. Maybe it's just one guy doing it, or a guy and his wife, or a few families together saying, we think this place needs a new church. Let's do it. Let's try this. And of course, you only hear about the success stories for those. But those people are starting from absolute scratch. They don't have financial institutions that are in place that have expertise and experience in establishing a new congregation. A school is probably the last thing on their minds. So many of the things that Lutherans just have there at our fingertips, if we're looking for help with these things, other religious traditions or adherents don't have.
So, Rebecca, you mentioned early on the closures of various educational institutions. What is changing about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's institutions and ecosystem, their ability to, or I could call it maybe their creative prowess?
This is something that I don't think is unique to the LCMS. All Christian churches have seen a decline in membership over the last few decades. And of course, there's been a lot of argument over the reasons for that. You know, are we failing at evangelism? Are we failing at simply repopulating the earth? Are we failing at maintaining a culture that is one in which people consider church attendance a normal part of life? It's all of those things, I'm sure. But all of that leads to fewer people to fill up the things that you built. And you have to maintain your buildings. And unused spaces start to cause trouble. They fall apart and they invite problems from outside. And figuring out how to deal with that problem is one of the challenges that the current generation of the church is facing.
So what has changed about our culture, especially with regard to how religious practices is thought of?
This is something, again, that's certainly a part of a very broad Christian conversation. It probably is best summarized by referring to Rod Dreher's The Benedict Option. And I had to laugh when I was first working on this article with the editor at American Reformer. I had a different title for it. He's the one who changed it to The Lutheran Option. I thought it was kind of interesting. I hadn't necessarily thought of it that explicitly, but I think that it's an interesting thing to think about, that the LCMS in particular has a really good setup because of all the careful work in building not just congregations, but an entire framework of support for members and families that went on in the prime of LCMS membership and participation, that has really set us up to be in a good position for maintaining our church going forward and for welcoming people who are saying, we need strong churches. And strong churches don't just mean a cool place to go on Sunday morning where we get to see other people we like and we hear a good sermon. The church does have a duty to help people with the support and needs of the body. And that is bigger than, you know, just dropping off a bag of groceries on somebody's porch. Life is complicated. And the LCMS institutions that deal with those broader problems and do interact with each other. So I'm talking again about financial institutions, media institutions, educational institutions. All of that makes for a very strong, broad community that other Christian groups may share ideas or share confessions, whether that's a very formal confession or just kind of informal. But there aren't many that have as unified and complex a system of support institutions for the needs that people have just to get through life.
You say that for confessional Lutheranism, there is historical precedent for this particular situation, not a one-to-one match, but the general situation that we face.
This is what really got me thinking about it. A lot of ideas all collapsing into one essay here, but I've always thought a lot about what the Benedict option kind of idea, the fact that the culture around us is no longer supportive of Christian congregations and Christian life, what that has to do with the actual founding of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, which came about because of the Prussian Union that was established in 1817 that said, you Reformed people and you Lutherans are basically the same. Let's just have one church and keep things simple here. And the Lutherans said, sorry, we can't do that. They found themselves in a hostile culture, of course, very different in the way that our culture is hostile. Our culture is hostile because it's utterly secular. Back in 1817, the Lutherans were saying, well, this is a religiously hostile culture, but they had to go. They could not remain there and worship the right God rightly. So they left. They emigrated to America. And, you know, in thinking about this, I just kept wondering, well, where do people go? Where do people who are facing the same problem, the fact that they cannot worship truly and rightly, live truly and rightly, where's left on this earth, right? Like, it would have to be pretty funky and you would be really isolated. But what the Saxons did was, first of all, they went together and they went for the purpose of building the kind of place where they could live. Now, the difference is those places have been built. They're there for people asking those questions. The thing that remains to be done for people who do have those questions, who are living in situations so intolerable that they can't go on that way, is where are you going to go? Well, you could go to a Lutheran church and you would have a whole lot of benefits rolled into that that would help you, help your household be established in a faithful and supportive community, not just for immediate needs, but for even broader ones, like educating the children of the family, maybe even educating them not just for preschool, but for elementary school, for middle school, maybe even for high school, maybe even for college. All of that is in place. And all those places tend to work together pretty well. Maybe you need help figuring out your family's finances. We got a bunch of places for that. They've been doing it a long time. They're really good at it. Maybe you want to read things and listen to things that you can count on as speaking the truth. We have a publisher, Concordia Publishing House. We have media institutions that operate cooperatively with the LCMS and are really, really careful about the things they say, and also about being clear when they're sharing opinions or when they're sharing statements that are formally in line with the Lutheran confessions. We've got systems for all of these things. That would be a really nice kind of church to go to if you're in a position where you're willing to do that and able to do it.
Rebecca Curtis is our guest. She's author of a recent column for American Reformer, The Lutheran Option. We're talking about confessional Lutheranism and the collapse of institutions. On the other side, an example from her own family life. Thanks to our listeners, Issues Etc. has operated independently and in the black for 13 consecutive years. With 3 weeks left in 2021, we're $128,000 short of expenses. Please make a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Concordia University Chicago grounds students in objective truth, integrity, and excellence, and practices faithfulness to the confessional teachings of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. This is Dr. Eric Ankerberg, Provost at CUC. Please consider joining our faculty community. We currently have openings for Dean of the College of Business and for Director of our new nursing program. And soon we will also begin a search for the new Dean of the College of Education. Learn more on the employment page at cuchicago.edu.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Pastor Leonard Payton of St. John Lutheran Church, Forest Park, Illinois. Forest Park being an inner ring suburb of Chicago. We're a mile and a half south of Concordia University, Chicago, and a 10-minute walk from a metro station and the ends of both the Blue Line and the Green Line. If work is moving you to Chicago, consider joining us. If you're visiting Chicago, come worship with us. It's a church for a great city and a great location. Our website is stjohnforestpark.org.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Folks, Christmas is 10 days away, but it's not too late to order Christ-centered artwork, jewelry, housewares, and more from Ad Crucem. Learn more at adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com. We're talking about confessional Lutheranism and the collapse of institutions. Rebecca Curtis is our guest. She is co-author of the book Ladylike Living Biblically and author of a recent column for American Reformer, The Lutheran Option. Rebecca, how is your own family to some degree insulated from culture by these pre-existing institutions that we've been talking about?
I realize this because I read so much about Christians seeking out intentional communities, wanting to be a part of them, wanting to build them, knowing that that was going to be the best way for themselves and for their families to remain connected to the church and to have a way of life that was supportive of that. That you couldn't just be this island of orthodoxy, that you needed other people who were thinking and living and worshiping in the same way that you were. And I realized, I don't need an intentional community. I'm a part of an unintentional community that does all of those things. And then I had to kick myself because, of course, I'm not part of an unintentional community. I'm part of an intentional community that people built a really long time ago. Now, it's not as set apart or isolated as probably what we think of as being the archetypical examples of this. You know, we're not Amish, we're not Hutterites, we're not Bruderhof. But in my whole life, I have been connected to church communities where this is the case. I grew up in a church that's really different from the church that I'm at now, but it was an LCMS church. The church that I'm at now does not have a school, but my children go to a school that is another church with a very strong community. And the church that I do attend is extremely supportive of that community and all of the Lutheran schools in our area. They make that available to my home congregation, makes Lutheran education available to the children of our congregation so that people can have that and have not have expenses be a factor that they have to worry about, which is extremely generous and so community-minded. And all of that is there because people built this church 145 years ago, because they built the church across the field 165 years ago, because all of these things were established and have been maintained. I remember one time I was on a competitive team and we had had some success, and expectations get really high. And when we did not continue at that level of success, someone said, you know what the coaches always say in sports is, it's easier to attain than to maintain. And I think we often see that in church plants, that maybe you can build a really big, awesome church that's pretty cool for a while, but it just turns out to have been a flash in the pan. The LCMS is not a flash in the pan. It has maintained. Now, it doesn't have that degree of coolness that people are often looking for and often prefer. But to have maintained, to have built and maintained something for the amount of time that this church body has, that's a pretty big deal. And that also means that its beneficiaries have a duty to be faithful to that, to exercise wisdom as well as they can, and to carry that on just as it was carried on for us.
So everyone knows that due to a number of factors, including kind of authoritarian COVID restrictions, among other things, there is a pretty massive internal immigration or resettlement occurring in the United States. People are picking up, moving themselves, their families, and even their businesses from state to state to seek more favorable conditions. How should a Christian prioritize church affiliation when they contemplate a move like that?
Whatever your list of necessary things are, you know, I want to live in a state with lower taxes. I want to live in a state where I can go into a store without putting on a mask. I want to live in a state that has been less oppressive in various measures. Whatever those priorities are, on that list, on the short list of that list, should be, where am I going to go to church? Where's our family going to go to church? How close are we going to live to that church? Would I rather commute, have my long commute, be for work or for church? The more people are driven from the places where life is no longer livable, whether that is for practical reasons under COVID tyranny, or for other business reasons like you mentioned, or maybe you're kind of starting out and you're free to go where you want to go. There is a bit more freedom since remote work has become so much more widely accepted suddenly. My advice would be, and it's worth exactly what you paid for it, but my advice would be, find the church that you want to be your church. If you have kids, find the church that is where you want your kids to grow up, where they're going to have their friends, what you guys are going to do with your free time, where you're going to volunteer, the people you're going to hang out with. And you will find a whole lot of other good stuff rolled into that. You'll have the help of all of the things that the Lutheran Church has built over the years to help people raise their families, to support their congregations, and to be good members of their communities, that will allow them to participate in public and political life in the way that faithful Christians do.
Finally, with about a minute here, Rebecca, in your article, you talk about the New Saxons and the Lutheran option. Who are those New Saxons, and how would you describe the Lutheran option?
I think anybody who read the Benedict option and thought, man, this might be kind of right. This might be coming. This might be coming for me. Those people are the New Saxons. They're the ones who have realized that they can't stay where they are, and that the place where they need to go is a place that will allow them to live the life that their conscience demands, so that they can worship at the church where they feel they're being faithful to the best extent that any person is able to discern that, and to see that there are churches where this is happening. And it might not be the flashiest church on the block. They might not have a cool pastor. They might have a building that isn't as beautiful as some other churches that are in the neighborhood. But if you're willing to look past some of those surface level things, There's a whole lot that a well-established congregation tied to a well-built church body can give a person or a family looking for a place to live as faithful Christians.
Rebecca Curtis is a pastor's wife and mother of 8 children. She has a master's degree from Concordia Seminary. She's co-author of the book Ladylike, Living Biblically, and author of a recent column for American Reformer, The Lutheran Option. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Rebecca, thank you.
Thank you.
When we come back in hour two on this Wednesday, December the 15th, it's part 21 of our series, What I Wish My Non-Lutheran Family Knew About. Today, we'll go straight to the heart of the matter in Christianity with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller and talk about Jesus. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Unshaken from Psalm 16:8 is the theme for the 44th academic year at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and encouraging spiritual growth. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the support page. Or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.